Did I miss this, Pastor Luke? Did you wish everyone a Happy New Year? Well, Happy New Year! So it is the first Sunday in Advent, means the beginning of the church year. So if you didn't like last year, 2020, it is still 2020, but it's a new church year, and everything is new in Jesus. So Pastor Luke and I have our blue on today, not because I am cheering for the Colts. Hey, they beat the Packers last week. It is because it's Advent. I got more for you. So Jesus is at the center of everything. And so as we say Happy New Year, it's because the church year, well, the church is all about Jesus. Jesus, the crucified and risen one. Jesus, the one who is, and I was looking, not only the Cairo, Christ, but also he is the King of Kings who was born in Bethlehem. He is the King who reigns at the right hand of the Father, and he is the King who will return any minute now. Lord willing, any minute now. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus is at the center of everything. And that then is, this is the first time I've ever preached on 1 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 9. I've preached on the gospel lesson before. I've not preached on the Old Testament lesson, but just to reiterate, Isaiah 64, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Pastor Luke will be preaching on that on Wednesday. So if you have any tips for him or suggestions, let him know after the service. Jesus is at the center of everything, and perhaps, Sandy, is it possible to click back? I think maybe that's, no. Okay, you clicked it for me. All right, I'm going to. Maybe I should have started this sermon. Many sermons have started this way, and perhaps if you didn't know it, you've got 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3 memorized, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how many sermons start, and that is the salutation or the greeting that St. Paul gives to Christians in Corinth 2,000 years ago, but often that is the greeting that pastors give to parishioners, that the preacher gives to those, to hearers, that that in Christ Jesus we have received grace upon grace, and in that spirit we can be thankful. In some sense, this is a continuation of Thanksgiving Day sermon about the gifts that God has given, that God tells us, the Psalms say, to give thanks to God, for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. St. Paul in other places says to give thanks. It is a good thing for us. So in that sense, this is a continuation of that sermon, but I really only have one sermon anyway, that are about Jesus. That we give thanks because we have received this grace. And grace is something that good that we get that we don't deserve. Now, on Thanksgiving, we focus primarily on first article gifts. What I mean by that is first article, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And so first article gifts are stuff, right? So it's I'm thankful for a wife and children, land and animals. I'm thankful for clothing and shoes. And as I said on Thursday, and my mom caught this, she's good at pointing these things out. She said, why did you say you're thankful for underwear? Well, I am. I mean, nothing beats a good pair of underwear. Especially, I reminded our son Oliver today, when they're clean. So, right? I mean, be thankful for all these things that God gives us, even the most basic things. I'm thankful for this rope that holds my dress together, my alb together. I'm thankful for being here with you. And so we said on Thursday, as we went through the first article of the Apostles' Creed, and then as Martin Luther talks about all these things for which we're thankful, for a Heavenly Father who's a provider and a protector, but then his quality or characteristic, that all this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. And for all this, it is my duty and yours too to thank and praise, serve and obey him. At the center of this text is Jesus. In these first, and actually I don't have verses 1 and 2 on here, or verse 10, but in the first 10 verses of 1 Corinthians, St. Paul uses Jesus, he says Jesus 9 times. He says that Jesus is Lord five times. It is everything is centered in Jesus, and he wants to get that point across to the Corinthians, but also to you and me. And he's getting that point across, and he's also, as much as St. Paul ministers to Christians in Corinth, and this is true of life in the church, and this is true of mine and Pastor Luke's relationship to you all and our relationship to one another, as much as Paul ministers to them, they're ministering to him. They're reminding him. They're testifying that Jesus is the one whose name means the Lord saves. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, that he holds all together. And so because of that, because of this mutuality or this conversation that Paul has with Christians in Corinth, but that you and I have with one another, he says, hey, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. Paul gives thanks right up front. He even gives thanks for Corinthian Christians. He starts out by giving thanks, but really, the church in Corinth had some problems, had some challenges. I mean, you think there have been challenges here at St. John. Oh boy, the Christians in Corinth. Chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 15, down the line. All kinds of issues, but Paul starts out by saying, I give thanks for you. Because I get to share Jesus with you, and you share Jesus with me. The other thing that I noticed some other pastors who had preached on this text had said, especially from a pastor to a pastor, but I think it'd be true for all of us, I don't know as much in 2020 as things are kind of strange with respect to actually coming to church, but it's sometimes it can be tempting to look around and say, boy, that church over there, they got a lot of good things going on. They just build a new youth ministry wing. They just started up another millennial ministry that where they brew beer and do other things. You ever thought about that, Pastor Luke? They got all kinds of things. They've got a cool logo, and even people drive around town, and they've got magnetic decals that go on your car. Man, that church has got it going on. And it says, hey, be thankful for where God has placed you and me, because Christ not only has come, but he is still here, and he will come again. See, this Advent hope that we have, which means to come, really, there are two points of focus. There is Christ's first coming 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. There is Christ's second coming. I look over here to the east, thinking Christ is going to come in the east. His second coming, we look forward to that. We yearn for that. But also, you could say that God is faithful to his promises, and there is a prophetic coming of Christ. That may be what Pastor Luke preaches on Wednesday, where the prophet Isaiah says that on God's behalf, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. God, that you would make your name known. And you know what? He did make his name known. Not only is it Yahweh, but the Son of God's name is, what's his name? Jesus. Not everybody at once, not confidently. Jesus, right? It means the Lord saves. That Jesus has come. And then also we say he actually comes to us now. Christ is present in this place. He is present and he comes to us at the font. He is present and he comes to us here from the lectern / pulpit / where the words of absolution are proclaimed to you in the present tense. The word of Christ is proclaimed here from the preaching area. And Christ also is coming to you today from the altar in a way that takes faith to believe in a little piece of bread and a little sip of wine. Christ comes to you, his body and blood given and shed for you. In the present tense, Christ comes to us. God is at work here. So Paul says in verse 5 that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and in all knowledge. Maybe said another way, in every utterance you were enriched. And whether that is the most jubilant and joyful alleluia, whether that is through a groan of pain and disappointment, whether that is through a amen, I believe it, preach it, Brother Troy, like we do week in and week out here, amen. Or whether that is simply a sigh, I don't know, you can make it through one more thing. But trusting that you breathe in the Holy Spirit who gives peace that passes understanding in everything. At every point, Jesus is at the center, and our story is intertwined. Your story is intertwined with his story. speaking of Jesus' story and your story, one of the things that we've been going over for about the past 3 months on Wednesday morning Bible class is working through the funeral service. And we got about another 3 years before we're done, I think. And I appreciate it's fun listening and talking. And Ricker, you shared the other day that, you know, as part of this, our confession as Lutheran Christians is that the funeral service is not going to be your funeral service. I don't know if I'm preaching it or Pastor Luke or I may die before you. But in the end, you're not the hero of your story. That the funeral service is about Jesus, but it is about how Christ has written and holds on to Rick. And we testify to that. We give utterance to that. That because we have Jesus, we are brought together. We have a direction. We have a connection. We have a purpose and unity. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, which I think is the summary thesis point for the entire letter, that his hope, his prayer, is that Christians would have unity in Christ. Because sin is what divides. It's very simple. Apart from Jesus, we will not have connection. We will not have love. We will not have true forgiveness and true mercy and grace. But in Jesus, we have connection. We have direction. We have purpose. We have hope. And there is a story that has a past, a present, and a future. But all of it has Jesus at the center. And so Paul says, then, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. St. Paul is preaching or writing to Christians. And I think this is a beautiful thing. And as we gather here today, it struck me as part of the Wednesday class just this last week. A funeral service or any church service can work as a standalone thing. Like maybe you hadn't been here for 20 years or 30 years, and you came and you're going to hear, I'm confident, here in the Lutheran Church, you're going to hear Christ crucified and risen. But the beauty, and I think the intention, and I say St. Paul is preaching to Christians here, is that there is a richness that is acknowledging that this, and what we're doing here this morning, is part of an ongoing conversation. Where God has the first word and the last word, where Jesus, who is the Word and all things were created in Him and through Him and by Him, He is the light of the world, that He was there and He will be there and He's still here now. And we have this conversation and it is all centered in Jesus. And there is a richness that says, yeah, I still need to hear every day, every week about who Jesus is and who I am and who you are in Him. That we believers need to hear and to speak again and again the truth, the reality that is in Jesus. Oftentimes, if I wrote down like a stated goal for a sermon, it would simply be that we believe more firmly. Because I live in the tension of, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I look at the just goofiness of my life at times. And so, well, I know that I'm a Christian. I know that Christ has claimed me as His, and yet I look at my life and I go to pieces. Just yesterday, I was waiting because, you know, the blessing of technology, I have my UPS app. And someone who is a holiday seasonal handler delivers one package to my front door. And I look on the app and it says I had two packages delivered. Well, I didn't have two packages. I'm trying to work on my sermon. As you can tell, I didn't get a lot of work done. Because then I said, Troy, you don't worry about this. This is not that important. But I'm like, I think I got to file a claim with UPS. I better do it right now. And then I couldn't get logged into another account, and then I did another thing. And I went to pieces. Like, you shouldn't be working on this right now. It's going to be fine. It's okay. Because, you know, I was waiting on those Tums. I needed those. And then I had to get into them. So one of you are not going to get a new 48-count Tums for Christmas. I'm sorry. Or you're going to get a 47-count. But see, I know that I should just be calm and chill out, but I can't. And I need to hear from you that Jesus is reigning. It's okay. Like I need to hear it, not just assume it. I think in the way that I articulate it today is that I'm at least always doing a reality check here in church. Are things as bad as I think they are? And there may be times that you say, you know, actually, Troy, I think they're worse. Or maybe what I want you to say is, no, it's not as bad as you think. It really isn't. It doesn't matter that Purdue lost last night to Rutgers, Rutgers who had only won one game. It doesn't matter that my packages didn't come all at the same time from UPS and I had to wait on those Tums. And in fact, even if I breathe my last breath and I die right here in front of you, as painful as that may be for my family and things, Christ holds on to me. I need to hear that from you. You know, in the church, and here in the Lutheran Christian church, I think another way to say it is we don't assume the gospel. So, for instance, if you think about a funeral service, we don't just bring, we don't roll a casket in here and we all look at it and look at one another and say, well, you know, we all ought to know this is about Jesus, crucified and risen. You know, we give each other the thumbs up and then walk out. No, we speak. We say, on the one hand, we say things are true. This person has died. Their body is not working anymore. Their soul is with Jesus. Their body is dead, but they will be raised. We call a thing what it is. But in calling a thing what it is, we also call in the fullness of the fact that Christ is risen, and in the end, death will be undone. Death ultimately is put to death in Jesus. And we speak these words to one another to encourage, but also, I think, as an acknowledgement of reality. See, Satan does not want the word to be spoken, or does not want our words to mean what they actually mean. We live in a time now, and you talk about my neurosis, I'm talking about it, but I was setting up an account for something last night, and I didn't want to use my Google Gmail account, because when I get banned from Google, I'm going to lose access to this other account. See, I'm like... It's going to happen. I'm going to lose all my Kindle books. Right? I mean, it's like, Lord have mercy. See, because I'm afraid of saying the wrong thing. Because, you know, if you don't be politically correct, you got to watch out. You don't want to tweet the wrong thing. You don't want to say the wrong thing. It'll take it away. That's not right. See, but we live in a time where we say, well, look, is marriage, when I talk about marriage, I say that John is married. We don't now know, is John married to a woman? Is John married to another man? Maybe John's got three wives or three husbands. We don't know. In fact, we could say, you know, is it correct? I thought that women gave birth to children, but I don't know. In 2020, I have seen things that say that you shouldn't even say women, you would just say birthers. That's weird, right? I mean, at least acknowledge that our words and speech should have meaning. Satan, the father of lies, comes early on and says to Adam and Eve, can you really trust what God said to you? And then they can't even trust what they say to one another. And so we're doing this constant reality check at the most basic level. This is light. This is dark. This is life. This is death. This is love and good. This is evil and bad. And the center of it all is Jesus. Words and speech have meaning, and they have an effect. Just yesterday, in talking with Pam Johnson before church, happy anniversary, 44 years in 2 days. Is that right? 44 years plus 2 days. Yeah. Okay. So, and as you said that to me yesterday, Pam, because you said, hey, we were celebrating our anniversary, and then you said 44 years. And then when you said it, you knew it was 44 years and one day yesterday, but then it was almost unbelievable. There's a smile, but how could you? It's impossible. You're only 39 years old, right? And so what I mean by that is that you know it's 44 years, but when you hear yourself say it and then I react to it, like I'm really excited for you and happy for you, and then you said, and I know we're among friends and family here, you said, but I remember when my in-laws celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, they were old. I said, well, you're not old, Pam, right? And I'll tell you if I think you're old. But so those words and speaking things actually have significance and meaning. It actually is an affirmation of reality, or we would say, no, that's not actually correct. And so that's, in a good sense, happy anniversary. But also those words, sometimes when it is the phone call that you did not want to make because you know that your loved one has died and now you've got to call another relative and tell them. And you know it, but then I've been there and I hear myself saying it and I can hardly get the words out. Does this mean it's real? Because I've said these words? Yeah. And in the church, quite simply, we're saying Jesus is the center of everything, and there is nothing more real than Jesus. As Pastor Luke and I have said as we're going through videos about the Apostles' Creed and now the second article, nobody knew how to have more fun than Jesus. Nobody knew how to grieve more deeply than Jesus. No one loves better than Jesus. No one has compassion more deeply than Jesus, because He is real. And all of reality for you and me is defined in and through Him. So we know that we are not lacking in any gift. As we wait, we're in this tension, this in-between time. Pastor Luke preached on it 3 weeks ago, and really it comes up every week. We're in the now and the not yet. Well, now the reign of heaven has come near to us, and we rejoice in that, and now not all of UPS packages are delivered exactly when I expect. And now there are things that are painful. But now Christ has come to us. There is a tension. As we wait, and that's what we do during Advent, for one thing, for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was revealed in Epiphany, says the light shines on those who dwelt in darkness. This is the Savior. But we wait because we know that one day we will see Him and look Him in the eyes again, just like Job did. Because our Redeemer lives. And so we live by faith, trusting in realities that can now only be grasped and held on to and trusted in the context of faith. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Or as St. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 13, for now we see in a mirror dimly, oh, but then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. And when I read that last night, it hit me in a wonderful way. You see, I know who Jesus is. And I know who Philip Rivers is. I know who Aaron Rodgers is. I know who Donald Trump is. I know who Joe Biden is. But they don't know who I am. But Jesus knows who I am. And you know what's even better? He knows who I am and loves me in spite of all the things that I leave out that I should do. He knows me and He loves me in spite of my disappointment, anger, my gloominess when I shouldn't be gloomy. He loves me in spite of that. And He loves you too. You are known by Jesus. You're baptized into Christ. You know Him and He knows you. I am His and He is mine. And so we look around and knowing this reality and we say, yeah, I see dimly right now, but I know one day I will see fully and I can't wait for Christ to return. But also as I look around and live by faith, I can give thanks and I can say those things to you and we can rejoice together. That becomes contagious. Paul says, Jesus, who will sustain you, who will keep you to the end guiltless, because your sin has been put into Jesus to die. And Satan wants to accuse you, and the old Adam and the old Eve can't not believe that God would love a poor, miserable wretch like you and me. And Satan wants to say, nope, see, couldn't love you, but you are guiltless, not because you did everything you should, or because you scratched out somebody else's name and moved yours up on the ladder, but because Christ has paid everything for you. He's the Hosanna, Lord, save us now, King. And the day of our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be awesome. So Paul concludes by saying, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And whether you think of fellowship like the fellowship of the ring and a traveling party who are someday going to see Jesus. Or you think of it, the fellowship of Jesus, where you and I are walking like those disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus is right in the center. At the center of everything. That's the reality check. That's the truth at the beginning of this new year. And that is the truth at the end of time. That God is faithful. And this shapes and changes everything. To know that Jesus is the hero of your story and mine. I'll end with something that Pastor Luke said the other day that I, as I'm given to do in a loving big brother way, said, I need to get into the Psalms. That's good, getting into the Psalms, because they're real, they're raw. It's good to know the Psalms. So that's good to get into the Psalms. But you know what? You need to get the Psalms into you. Jesus into you. See, the Psalms are an articulation of our faith. We're confessing our faith. But also the Psalms and the Word of God is something that strengthens our faith. We get it into us. You don't have to wait for Jesus' second coming to know that Jesus is here and coming for you. Because now He comes to you here in a way that takes faith to see and believe. It's a little piece of bread, a little piece of wine, the body and blood of Christ, your King, who has come for you now, who holds on to you and will come again. To Him be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, our Lord, Savior, and King. Amen.